Today on Real Radio.
He said he was a Christian, so I used him to do my company or my books. Or he said he was a Christian. He had a Bible. He had a cross on the back of his car, but he robbed me. Those Christians, stop right there. Imposter. Fake.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're looking at the first 8 verses of this chapter as our teacher deals with a rather controversial question. Who is a real Christian? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
That's all I am. I'm a branch. I'm not the vine. I'm not the vine dresser. I'm a branch. I come out of the vine. I hang in there. The vine says, I want to put fruit right about over there. He produces the fruit by the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't sit there and go, okay, I'm going to be fruity now. I read that verse. Don't want to get in trouble. Don't want to be cut off. So I'm going to produce some fruit. Oh, yeah. Peace. Yes, peace. Okay, now I need some joy. Joy. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit. I need some patience now. And the moment you come to that one, that request, God says, all right. No, it doesn't happen that way. The branch hangs in there, and the holy connection, the Holy Spirit, so to speak, is the sap flowing through the vine, out of the vine, into the branch, and it comes, so to speak, to the end. I know I'm making this simplistic, but it comes to the end and it says, where am I going to go now? I've made it all the way through from the source to the end. I'm going to produce some fruit here. And that's all the Christian life is to be about. My life, your life, this church is to be a fruit-producing church. That's what we're supposed to do. Produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, patience. The fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit. You can't buy those things. You can't do enough religious acts to get those things. It is a divine, supernatural, miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And here's the deal. I am sick to my stomach when I look at my own life and see how little fruit there is. I look in the mirror and I just go, man, this is sick. I'm impatient. I don't always have joy. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, you and I. We'll make sure we'll stay far away from each other. Critical mass. For the rest of you liars who aren't agreeing with me, we all fail. It's like, oh man, I wish I was more loving. So what do we do about that? Oh yeah, okay, now I got some more love. No, Lord, I want you to produce your love in my life. Lord, produce the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Abide. That's what the meaning of the word is. To make your home in. To be in Christ. That's the key word, right? In Christ. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, you know all the answers of the book, by the way, if you're in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit will teach you this. If you're in Christ, that's it. I met a man last week. He's got PhDs and doctorates in theology. I'm glad he told me that before I taught the class. Because I should have sat down and been taught by him. And then in the same room that I was teaching in, there was a guy 5 days old in Jesus Christ. 5 days old. One guy, ancient in Christ with all of the degrees. This guy, brand new in Christ. Both in Christ. If one died, or if they both died, or we all died that night, we'd all go to heaven in Christ. God wouldn't say, okay, all the PhDs up here first. guys who don't have any degree, you go, oh no, that's not him. In Christ. Are you in Christ? That's the question. Are you in him? If you're in him, you know the answer to the book. It's the way the Holy Spirit works. He's very, very kind and very gracious in our lives, and we know that. And so Jesus is teaching us that we need to abide. He says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. You're already clean. This is a marvelous word. It means that he, at some point in time, made a declaration concerning them, past tense, before he said it to them. Are you with me, you guys? It would be equivalent today to me saying to Jim, Jim, you are already clean. It means it had to happen before I said it to Jim. Jesus said to his disciples, you're already clean. The word in the Greek means it happened already before I said it. It's a truth. It's a fact. Isn't that great? He says to those of you who believe in Christ, he says, you're already clean. Okay, how much cleaner do you have to get when Christ says you're clean? Anybody? You're as clean as you can get. Remember, Peter had a hard time in the upper room with Jesus on this issue. Remember? Peter, let me wash your feet. You're not washing my feet. Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you'll have nothing to do with me. You can't have fellowship with me if your feet's dirty, if your feet are dirty spiritually. And so Peter says, not only my feet, Lord, but my head, my whole body, everything, wash me. And Jesus basically says, will you calm down? You're so dramatic, you know? Just calm down. You are already clean. All I have to do now is wash your feet. In other words, remember, let's just have a life of revival and communion with one another. You sin, confess it, I'll wash it. 1 John 1:9. It'd be great, Peter. Just cooperate. It'd be fine. Now he says, you're already clean, remember? Right then and there, if they understood or they believed, they could have went like us, like we today should go, we don't have to worry about the fruit part and the pruning part and the takeaway part. We don't have to worry about the interpretation. Why? Because we're already clean. The moment we bowed our hearts and said, Jesus, come into my life and write my name in your book of life. Save me, Lord. I believe you died for my sins, rose again from the dead for me. You're clean. Clean. That's important. It's vital. You're clean. Already. And because that's true, verse 4 says, abide in me. Because you're clean, now abide in me. And I in you. And I have that marked because that's the key. I can never abide in him unless he's in me. You know how it is to live life on your own, anybody? Huh? Pretty bad, huh? Pretty scary. Pretty weird. Pretty much in trouble. Abide in me. How do I do that, Lord? I in you. Cool. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You ever seen a branch produce fruit by itself? No. Okay, great. Just hang in there then. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See the simplicity of this? We can make it so difficult. What a fun teaching this would be if you had the props and the vine and all that stuff. Because have you ever seen a vine, a real established vine? They're pretty wild looking. They're very gnarly looking. You don't build a house with a vine. You don't build a surfboard out of one. You don't do anything like that. It's just good for producing fruit. It's not even good for burning. Did you know that? Because a grapevine, when it's dried up, just kind of explodes in the fire and then it's gone. It doesn't even burn right, but it produces fruit. The vine does that. And the branches are to do the same. Listen to this connection in 2 Corinthians 5:19. For God, now we know he's the vine dresser, was in Christ, he's the true vine, reconciling the world, those are the branches, to himself. Isn't that great? 2 Corinthians 5:19. That's a wonderful passage of scripture to illustrate what we're talking about. Who is a real Christian? One who abides in Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about that. He's going to do it. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Why? Because he's pruned. He gets pruned and he gets lifted up. He says here, verse 5, for without me you can do, what does it say in your Bible? Nothing. I love this. Okay, here's the pruning. Chomp. He cuts off a part of our branch because we are the branch. He cuts off part so that we might grow more to produce more fruit. If you know how to prune your trees or your vines well, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know. I have a wonderful hydrangea just outside my back door, and it is beautiful. People have been coming over going, that's beautiful. Truly, they have been. The thing is, I bought it that way. I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. I just bought the best looking one in the store. You could have bought it too. I just bought the best looking one. I picked it, took it home, stuck it there, put it in a bigger pot, fertilized it, it just exploded. But then the blooms, you know, those blooms are like size of volleyball. Huge. Then they, you know, the blooms start to die, right? So I was not thinking. I'm like, oh man, this thing. And it's like this high. It's like 2.5 feet high. So where did I cut it? Just right below the dirt. Like a dope. Just chopped that thing right off. And then after I did it, I mean, I know better than that. What am I doing? Why did I do this? And now I have the most stupid looking hydrangea you've ever seen in your life. But I could almost hear the hydrangea screaming, why'd you do this to me? Why me? And I'm like, but you know what? Sometimes in our lives though, like in Israel, we saw olive trees that were pruned. You know how we prune trees here? That they're beautiful when they're done being pruned. Of course, in America, we do it for looks. In Israel, wham! They chop it off at the base. And I asked the guy, what happened to this tree? Yeah, that tree's 2,000 years old. What happened to it? You guys killed it. No, we pruned it. It was 20 feet high. Now it's a foot and a half. He goes, no, just wait, man. In a couple of years, just wait till you see the olives on this tree. This tree has been pruned by generations of people over millennia. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. And that's what's wrong with me. That's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with us. Lord, what are you doing in my life? I don't remember you getting permission to do that. This seems rather fatal and final to me, what you're doing. You ever been there? Lord, what are you doing? And he says, just wait, because in a couple of years, oh, the fruit that's going to be produced from you. Lord, who cares about a couple of years? All right? I want to look perfect now. I mean, I want to have all the decorations hanging on me, on my branches. No. You're going to get pruned, and then you're going to produce fruit, and fruit lasts. And as I thought about that and putting this message together, I thought of this. Who gets to enjoy the fruit? That's my question. Who gets to eat the fruit? You ever been to a model home? See the fruit on the table? It's wax, plastic, or wooden. It's worthless. Fake fruit. But man, you go to the store, and sometimes, you know, you got to just keep the little tag because you sink your mouth right into a peach before you ever get to the counter, and you got to prove that you bought it. Here's the sticker. I couldn't wait. Why? It's so wonderful. God produces fruit, and I'm not quite sure who partakes of the fruit. I know he enjoys it, but I think as I thought about this, I think other people are to enjoy our fruit. Do you like that? Is that okay with you? Hey, I produced it. Wrong. You can't do nothing. It's my fruit, not yours. It's his. Well, it looks really nice. That's because the Spirit's doing it. Well, what's my part? Just hang in there. Just be a branch that he can hang it on. That's our lives. Lord, in this world, in this life, cause me to be a branch that stays with you, that you can hang your fruit on. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, it sounds awful simple. It is simple. We need to not make it a big deal. Stop trying to be a vine and be a branch. Works better that way. He says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. Interesting wording, huh? He's cast out like a branch. Why? Because when you prune a branch, there's a part of a branch cut off. You throw that part away. But listen, if anyone does not abide, now he's talking about somebody who's not in Christ. He's not abiding in Christ. He doesn't have a heart or a life or a desire to abide in Christ. See, what can this mean? I think this is consistent with what Jesus had been teaching. In the church, there are imposters. He taught this. He called them T-A-R-E-S's. Remember tares? They're fake stalks of wheat. They look just like wheat. This is kind of interesting. They look just like wheat. You can't tell them apart from true wheat. And you don't want to go and pick them out because they're so much alike that you might pull out good wheat. What's interesting is, after the harvest, that is, as Jesus put in the parable, at the end of the world, at the end of time, you take and you separate the wheat from the chaff or the tares from the true. How so? One of the interesting ways that they do it today is by boiling. Did you know wheat, when it's boiled, produces no toxins whatsoever? But when the tares are boiled in hot water, they produce poison. But they look exactly like the wheat. He said he was a Christian, so I used him to do my company or my books. Or he said he was a Christian. He had a Bible. He had a cross on the back of his car, but he robbed me. Those Christians, stop right there. Imposter. Fake. Jesus said that in the last days, there's going to be a lot of this going on in church. Fake, pretenders, false people will be in church. And you'll call them Christians. Isn't that terrible? You know, we're blessed with growth. But is that growth always good? I don't think so. Jesus had a church of 12 people, and when he got done with it, there was 11. Those are negative church growth tactics that he employed. Nobody knocking on your door to buy that kind of a program for your church, huh? It's amazing. And Jesus says, verse 7, which is an amazing verse of Scripture. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Quickly, and I'll move on. Simply this, the key to having answered prayer is to abide in Christ. You want to have your prayers answered? Abide in Christ. Listen, if the shoe fits, wear it, friend. It's the Holy Spirit telling you about it. If you're not getting your prayers answered and things aren't coming together in your life, you're probably living in a sinful relationship somehow between you and your God. And he wants you to fix that. He's asking you, let's get this right. Watch, let's get this right. I'm not going to hear your prayer right now. I know what you need. I know what you want. I'm not going to do that. There's fellowship limitations that you and I have got to work on first. I want you to do the right thing, God says, and then I'll bless you. But you know, I'm not going to bless you until we do the right thing first. So important. And here's the encouraging thing about it. You're a branch. That's why he's talking to you like that. You are a branch. You know what? He's picking you up from the earth. And he's saying, no more down here anymore, okay? No more. I'm going to wash you off, and I'm doing that right now by telling you I'm not going to put up anymore with the way you're living. I'm going to put you back into the vine, and I have plans for you to produce. And you'll be as happy as a clam or as happy as a vine, as a branch. You'll be happy about it. He loves you. He's picking you up even right now. He wants to put you back in. But the answer, the key to answered prayer is abiding in Christ. You can have confidence when you pray. I love that. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. First it was fruit, then it was more fruit. Now it's much fruit. Hear the progression of a maturing believer? Just like a maturing vine. Oh, look, the little vine put out little branches and he's got fruit. But when he prunes it, oh, look, it's got more fruit. And then prunes it throughout life. Hey, it's got much fruit. A maturing branch. So he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Isn't that exciting? So here's the deal. Lord, where am I with you? Where am I with you? Am I producing fruit? Christian, not out loud, but ask yourself that now. Don't lie to yourself. Are you producing fruit? Immediately with the question comes a dilemma for some of you. I can't say I'm producing any fruit, but I'm a Christian. Well, we do have a problem. You're saying you're a Christian, but there's no fruit. Well, we know from our study that he is desiring to pick you up from where you're at and get you plugged back in. Question now comes, are you willing? I don't want the fun that we've been having here this morning to interfere with what this next challenge is all about. If you look around and you're claiming to be a Christian, but there's no fruit in your life that brings honor to God, you're not glorifying God in your life. But you say you're a Christian. You say, but there's nothing to prove it. Then the challenge to you comes, get back with the Lord again afresh. Now, get in the flow of the vine and get his strength. If you now say, I don't want to do that. Ouch. Now do you see and hear the thrust of his teaching? But if you say, you know what, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, I am a Christian, and there is no fruit in my life. Lord, immediately your desire is, make me fruity, God. Work it out in my life. Do your thing, Jesus. Here I am, Lord, make me a fruit-bearing branch. Then you are a Christian, man. You are now abiding in Christ. You are clean. So go produce fruit. Then there's some who say, I am a Christian and I got some fruit. I don't think it's much, but there's some. You're his. You're in the vine. You're a branch. Just encourage yourself and me, and I'll do the same to you, when we get cleansed and pruned. Because he intends all his branches to be pruned. And pruning comes as an ordained, painful, yes, but necessary act in our lives that we might bring forth more fruit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, using some agricultural analogies to help us better understand where we are in the redemption and sanctification processes. These same metaphors are found in the words of our Lord here in John chapter 15, which serves as the basis for our study called, Who is a Real Christian? We'll continue to examine this fascinating, very Trinitarian passage on our next edition of Real Radio. Remember, you can hear this study once again, whenever you'd like, and as often as you'd like. Simply pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Once again, realradioactive.org. You'll be able to access past programs of Real Radio and become a podcast subscriber as well, realradioactive.org. Remember, when you write us here at Real Radio, it's an encouragement and helps us to gauge the effectiveness of the broadcast. Here, a listener writes, Dear Real Radio, God, the owner of my life, is using Real Radio and Pastor Jack to move me to be his child and to let go and be taught. I learn every day through tears and laughter what he who hung naked and faced humiliation has for me today. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for this program. I listen to it in the office, and it's hard to contain myself. Sometimes laughter, sometimes tears, but always in the presence of my owner, capital O. May God continue to use you guys to help us live our lives according to his word. Please keep on preaching. And that one came in just late last month. Now, if you'd like to write to us or become a financial partner or both, you can do so online or the traditional way. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, just remember that it can always be easily located on our website at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills California.